Welcome to F1 Debrief. I think there was something subtle in there. Coming up this week, we get technical about fuel, get some half-term reports from fantasy racers, and catch up with loads of feedback.
Now, if you're listening to the podcast post-recording, you're not going to know what we're talking about. But if you're following the live show, it's a little bit red in here.
We've gone a bit Ferrari mad.
We've got some flags and various bits of paraphernalia from the lovely guys at Shell and Ferrari.
Yeah.
And we've decorated the studio out to mark that.
We're going to talk about our Shell experience this week. So we thought we would decorate the studio in the right colours.
Absolutely. And if you're not following the live shows, if you're not joining us on a Sunday evening, you are missing out. Because to be honest with you, it's the best bit of the podcast, isn't
it? It's arguably better than the podcast.
You can watch the replay on the site. But if you're not here and you're not live, you are missing out.
Week. It's been a good week for Mark Webber as he turned up at Wimbledon this week to watch some tennis. Nice work if you can get it. He was supporting his countryman Leighton Hewitt, but when the pair of them were interviewed together, they started talking about cricket. A tennis player, a racing driver, talking about the cricket. What a waste.
Beats talking about politics.
That is true. It's been a bad week for Hockenheim as they've lost government backing to hold the Grand Prix. Their contract expires after next year's race. This year is at Nürburgring. But the city council are over 90% shareholders and they don't want to pay anymore.
It's also bad news for Nürburgring because they don't think they can host a race every single year. And this alternating agreement is working out quite well for them. So if Hockenheim goes, could be spell really bad news for the Nürburgring.
It's been a good week for Backstreet Boys fans like myself and Amy, as the pop band are headlining one of many concerts at the Singapore Grand Prix this year. It's actually an interesting tactic from the organisers because they get to encourage fans who aren't just motorsport nuts. And it's a good week for me because I have blogged about the Backstreet Boys, put a picture on our site, and I get to talk about them on the show. It's been a bad week for Braun GP because
Jörg Zander
has left. Now, I didn't know how to say his name, and Kathy was an angel and recorded it for me.
Jörg Zander.
Joined back when they were Honda in 2007, and as deputy technical director,
Jörg Zander
played quite a big part in making the BGP001 what it is today.
Jörg Zander
left last Friday, but we don't know why or what his next role will be. Side pod tour. Last week, we mentioned that we went to Silverstone on Friday as guests of Shell. We were given a tour of their lab in the truck, a look in the garage, and we had lunch with some very smart people. Last week, all we did was name drop. So this week, we're actually going to talk about fuel. The first thing we learned is that Shell fuel is called V-Power and Shell oil is called Helix.
Now,
I didn't know that.
No. You see the
adverts. I thought it was the same thing.
They look the same. Often at Formula One races, you get the branding around the circuit and sometimes you'll get one brand name for one country and a different brand name for a different country. And I assumed for all this time that Helix and Shell were the same thing.
Like Total for Renault and Elf, is it?
Yeah. I think that might be different because they may have bought the company out. But in this case, it's just two different items. Helix is oil and that's news to me.
So why is V-Power so special?
Formula One, you know how we did some stuff at the beginning of the year about Formula One affects our everyday lives?
Yeah.
And I think it's filtered down. And we did the podcast on Curse. And then we did another podcast. We did a meetup where we went to the Science Museum and saw how a fishing rod and a set of stairs can be derived
some welly boots.
Yeah, from Formula One technology. Well, in the case of Shell, this actually does make a difference to them because the fuel that ends up in your car under the brand name of V-Power actually started off being developed and was road tested by Formula One cars. They were used on the track to basically proof test that this stuff works. And it's filtered down to our everyday lives.
So here are some Shell facts for you. Shell and Ferrari were technical partners at the very first round of the Formula One World Championship in Britain in 1950.
That is not a fact.
It is a fact.
That is not true because Ferrari didn't turn up there. Stephen Roy repeatedly tells us this in various side pod panels. Ferrari were not at the first ever Formula One Grand Prix.
But they were technical partners then, even if they weren't there.
Semantics.
Yeah.
Ferrari turned up for the second Grand Prix and Shell may have been technical partners for that one, which I believe may have been Monaco. But they certainly weren't there at the first one in Britain. They sulked about the price.
Well, I don't want to do the rest of my facts now.
I don't believe your facts are true, but continue. We'll take these with a great big truckload of salt.
V-Power fuel was developed for Ferrari in 1997 and it hit the road cars in 1998, so that's quite a quick turnaround. Shell has powered Ferrari to 10 constructors and 12 drivers' titles. All Ferrari road cars are designed to use Shell fuels. Every Ferrari leaves the production line at the Maranello factory filled with Shell V-Power road fuel.
That's interesting.
Shell has a team of 5 to 7 people at every single race, with 50 people in laboratories all over the world. During a race weekend, Shell engineers will analyse over 40 samples of fuel for the two cars, and the fuel contains over 200 different components carefully blended.
And they gave us a nice flag. Ollie in the comments has said that Shell Fuel is like a nicely blended whiskey.
With 200 components.
I don't know what goes into whiskey, but the man knows his alcohol. I'm going to defer to his alcoholic experience.
Here's what happens over a race weekend for Shell. The lab gets assembled as soon as the Ferrari trucks are in place. It's a tiny little corner of the truck. I mean, they were quite proud to be there. They were like, Ferrari are giving us this space. And we were like, oh, that's very cool.
It's a shoebox.
It's the smallest corner you could possibly fit into.
What was surprising to me was you see these motorhomes, the massive motorhomes, and when the trucks are put together with the big awning over the top and they come together to form a huge motorhome, when you actually go inside the trucks, it's still just the width of basically the width of a bus.
Yes.
There's not enough room to swing a cat, let alone do a bunch of Shell fuel samples throughout a weekend.
The equipment needs to be tested to make sure it still works after transit. On Thursday, although there's no racing action, the cars are ready, so samples of fuel are taken from the cars and the rig. During the weekend, they take a sample after every run to analyse what happens to the fuel and how the engine is working. If the FIA random test Ferrari fuel, then Shell do the same to make sure they come up with the same results. Not that we don't trust the FIA or anything.
No.
And at the end of the race, a sample is sent back to the UK for full testing and it becomes part of the debrief.
So what you're saying, I'm learning some things from what you're saying here. You're saying it's very important, what the job that they do.
Yep.
Gives Ferrari a bit of an advantage over all the other teams because they don't have this little room that Ferrari have.
Yeah, and I mean, they said that other teams may have this technology, but not with them at every single race.
Okay, that's good. Now, we did record some audio at the circuit.
Yes.
Because we were allowed to. We had special dispensation to record some interviews with the folks from Shell. How did that go?
It did not go well.
Can we hear a bit of that?
We run this sample by the same equipment the FIA have got. It's called a gas chromatographic technique. And we compare that analysis to our reference, okay, so we can tell if it's okay or not. And it only takes a very small amount of contamination to make our Shell V-Power racing off grade. Okay, so this is a sensitive technique. So we may get 20 or 30 samples during the weekend. So that, basically the FIA are sort of police all these things in Formula One, and fuel is just another component that they police. So they could take a sample any time during the weekend. We can't do anything about that. It could be from our drum, from a car, refueling rig, whatever. So this is an important housekeeping process, if you like. So normally, if you finish in the top three or four, there's a very good chance, you know, in qualifying or the race, there's a very good chance you'll get scrutiny by the FIA anyway. But that, by that point, because we've looked after the fuel so well, we're 99% certain it's going to be no issues.
So the first thing we can learn from this is that these trucks, these motorhomes that all the teams have, not soundproofed.
No.
Really noisy. I don't know what was going on in the background. Was it GP2 race? Something was kicking off in the background there. There's a lot of ambient noise. And one thing that we had to cut out of the interview was the annoying fuel machine.
Yeah, because you wanted to play a little bit of it just to demonstrate what we were up against.
Yeah.
But I can't stand that noise.
No. It sounds like a very, very bad case of tinnitus. And it's the machine, I guess it's extracting something from fuel bottles, or maybe putting it back into fuel bottles. It's just a very, very high-pitched beep. And as we were recording and as we were listening to Mark talk, that kept happening. He had an assistant who was still busily working away in the background. Really noisy in those places.
Yeah. And he said a lot of good things, but we only managed to get two clips. So we've played one. Now let's hear the next one.
So other teams may or may not have this equipment. If they don't have it, basically they submit a sample to the FIA and it gets put in a queue. So this test is about 30 minutes, so we give a quick answer to Ferrari. If there is an issue, all they do is flush out that component again and then we retest it and it's okay, they carry on. So I don't know if you know or not, but with the scientists that formulate this fuel for Ferrari also formulate or have a hand in formulating the road fuel, the Shell V-Power that you can use at the pump. So any technology that we put into the Shell V-Power Racing basically is tested on the track. Okay, it's in very harsh conditions, and any learnings we find from that is passed directly to the Shell V-Power that you can put in your car.
So those two clips are actually not that bad. We did manage to get something useful from that.
That was an interesting conversation. And Mark was really patient. I mean, he gave us a lot of his time.
Yes.
Whilst we were in the motorhome. So we do appreciate that and say thank you to Mark, even though his assistant was blooming noisy.
We were guided around the paddock by Stuart from Ferrari, who is the man we mentioned last week in the bright red Ferrari gear so much that you needed sunglasses.
Mm, I remember that.
And he, when we went through into the garage and we were having a look at the cars, between the free practice sessions, he was giving us a good talk about the fuel rigs and all kinds of good stuff.
Yes. And again, we tried to record that conversation.
Couldn't hear a word of it.
Out in the paddock,
yeah,
things took a turn for the worse.
Because every team has the same equipment. You know, this brand is Shell V-Power, so this is the best one in the paddock. But essentially, what's underneath the branding is that it's the same rig, because every team has to put the fuel in at the same rate, so there's no advantage in a pit stop that one team maybe puts in. And there are sensors on each rig that allow you to measure how much is going in. The hose itself underneath here weighs 30 kilograms. So it's a heavy piece of kit, and it takes two guys weight of the fuel on the hose going through, and one guy then who's actually got the connector as it goes into the car. Absolutely spot on. Because again, you know, you're dealing with such a small amount of time.
Now, we appreciate that Stuart took his time to talk to us, but we didn't learn anything from that. In the comments, Ollie's just said that we've been taking some tips from ITV and talking in a noisy paddock.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Before we met with Shell, we asked them if we could do these recordings. They said, yeah, bring it. It's not a problem, but bring a decent microphone. We thought, that's no problem. What we have is decent microphones. That's us. You're talking to Side Podcast. We do good mics. No.
Well, I've got to say, what you've just heard is more than I heard while we were there.
Yeah, that's true. That's a fair point. We should probably listen to all of the interviews and do some kind of transcript on the site, because what was said was interesting.
Yes.
Just absolutely, you wouldn't want to listen to too much of it.
One thing we did notice was that in the actual motorhome, it was a lot quieter.
This is the over the other side.
Yeah.
Not the truck. This is the big motorhome, the very tall castle.
The hospitality section.
Yeah, that was much better. It had double glazing and a nice place to sit down and have a bite to eat.
And we met a man called David. His name actually is Dave.
We didn't know last week, but we've had it confirmed.
It is David Wood. And he was really nice. We had a great chat with him. He was on the road car side of things. I think we said that last week.
Yep.
And he issued us a bit of a challenge, really.
Good. Yeah. Do you want to discuss this?
Well, I mean, he talked to us about how good V-Power Fuel is, which you would expect because that's what he does.
It got technical.
Yeah. And I mentioned the fact that I buy my fuel from supermarkets.
Without mentioning any brand names.
Mm-hmm.
The largest supermarket in this country.
He wasn't impressed with that.
He was a bit disappointed in you.
Yeah. I felt bad, actually.
I felt the conversation take a turn for the worst after you said that.
So he convinced me that I should try V-Power, and that's where we're going to do a couple of experiments.
Side pod science.
Yes.
Oh, yes. You heard it here first. We've never done a scientific experiment on Side Podcast, have we?
Not that I know of. There's a first time for everything.
Absolutely. But it's not going to be that technical, because we're not going to take the engine to bits and find out if it actually makes any difference to the internal components. You're just going to drive your car and see if you can tell the difference between your standard regular supermarket fuel and Shell's super duper V-Power.
Yeah, so I've run my fuel tank down, basically. There's very little supermarket fuel in there, and apparently I will be able to tell the difference straight away.
And your plan is to fill up a full tank of V-Power tomorrow?
Yeah, it's a few pence more expensive, but apparently it really does make the difference.
Per litre, it's going to cost you something in the region of £2.
Yes.
For a whole tank of fuel, on top of what you would normally have paid for supermarket fuel. I'm going to do the same. In my car at the moment, I have BP regular.
Right.
But instead of going for V-Power to keep it slightly more controlled experiment, I'm going to go for BP Ultimate.
Which is the same idea, but obviously a rival brand.
Absolutely. You have BP regular, and BP Ultimate is the same as Shell regular and Shell V-Power. So I'm going to step up from my standard diesel to the Ultimate diesel. Now, I've done this before, because your mother-in-law swears that somebody once told her every 15 tanks worth of fuel, of regular fuel, you should put in some Ultimate in order to clear out your system, because it does some good stuff to your engine and clears all the bits off, and it's good maintenance for your car to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put that question to Dave, and he confirmed that was actually true, and it really, these higher octane fuels really do make a difference to your internal components.
Yeah, and there was the very smart Lisa Lilly, who was like head of the Shell power stuff. And she explained it in a lot more detail with octanes and explosions and big explosions and little explosions. And you want it to be a bit more regular explosions.
Yes. Without,
and things.
Without making ourselves look silly, it's something to do with the way the making the explosion happen when the piston is at the top in order to push it down with the maximum amount of force.
And the injectors in your car, apparently they're like a shower head. So if you use regular supermarket fuel, it gets bunged up and it just dribbles down and it's not very good. And then when you use the extra high Ultimate power fuel, it clears it out, and you end up with a nice spray again.
From the comments, there are clearly more intelligent people than us in the comments.
Always.
And as per usual, Scott has said, it does give your engine about 6 brake horsepower more than standard supermarket fuel, apparently, but then it's not noticeable at first, but eventually you will see results. So I don't know how
Dave,
many times...
Dave said it would be noticeable straight away, and I believe Dave.
Also, Gavin said, a 4-stroke process, for those who are a bit confused, is suck, squash, bang, blow. Now, I don't know what any of that means, but apparently someone...
My dad explained it to me once. I forget.
Suck, squash, bang, blow. There you go. I like the sound of that. So this is what we're going to do. Despite our complete and utter lack of any form of engine knowledge whatsoever...
Yeah. The bit you've missed out is you're going to go from BP regular to BP ultimate and then go from ultimate to V power to see if there's any difference. Because when we were talking to Dave, he said that obviously he would say it, but V power is better than BP. Now, he would say that because they're his employers, but we want to see if that's true.
He said it's the best thing on the market that money can buy. He said there was one better fuel out there, but it was so expensive it was completely unusable.
And it's about 2 forecourts across the country.
Yeah, essentially race fuel. But Dave did tell us a great anecdote about his wife using fuel.
Well, he said when he was working and developing the fuel, it's all he would talk about, fuel, fuel, fuel. And his wife got fed up with it and said, shut up about the fuel. And then when it first was released, he went and filled his car up and he didn't tell her. And she said to him something she never would have said.
My goodness.
The car's running well today.
Yes. My goodness. Isn't that car running well? Despite the fact he hadn't mentioned that it should be. And she could tell the difference just from driving.
And I think then he was justified in all his fuel talk.
Yes. And that's exactly what we're trying to prove here. One thing I did want to mention about Lisa Lilly, who is a blindingly good scientist.
It was so clever.
We really are doing a huge amount of disrespect by not really understanding anything she said. It went all over our heads. We're by such a huge height, it's unbelievable. But I can tell you how clever this girl is. We got given a press pack for going to Shell. And there are 4 profiles listed in this press pack of people we need to know about. One of them, Mr. Enzo Ferrari.
Of course.
One of them, Mr. Kimi Raikkonen.
Mm-hmm.
The third, Mr. Felipe Massa.
Yep.
The fourth person listed in this press pack is Lisa Lilly. That's pretty high.
That's how important she is.
Yeah, that's good. She's in good company there. I would say, you know, that's pretty important people within Ferrari. So she clearly knows her stuff and they clearly think a lot of her. And she is very important to the whole Ferrari machine. And you do get the impression that they probably couldn't do what they do without her.
So we will do our experiment this week and we will report back in maybe a couple of weeks' time and tell you whether it made a difference.
Dropio is a place for people to get together and share links, files, images and audio. Visit drop.io/typepodcast for Formula One related submissions gathered by us and you to share with other like-minded individuals. If you've found something that you think we should see, be it an Excel spreadsheet, a PDF document or an embed from another site, post it to dropio/typepodcast. And while you're there, take a look around. There's always something new.
Apparently Nick listened to that jingle last time we played it, and he went along to Dropio, like a good little chap, to see what was on there, see any Formula One related pictures and things. All he found was 2 pizzas and a link to Domino's. Fantasy Racers. Now, immediately, I reach for the jingle as soon as we do the Fantasy Racers, but there is no jingle this week.
Not this week.
There has been no racing. So why are we playing Fantasy Racers chapter?
Well, it's halfway through the season now, give or take.
It is, almost. Goodness me.
Yeah. And I thought it'd be a good time to sort of have a half-term report and see how everyone's doing, how we're stacking up.
Mm.
Now, the first thing you need to know is that we almost have 550 teams.
That's awesome.
In our league.
Exactly.
That's very good.
How many is almost?
Well, I think it was 549 when we checked, but that's quite annoying. So I just pretend it's 550.
That's pretty incredible. What a great response. And with more teams coming along, even in time for the British Grand Prix. So if you haven't yet joined, it's still time. You can still join the competition.
We've talked before about Ollie's awesome stats on his blog F1. He does some really good coverage of where his teams are and how well he's done. Puts us to shame, really.
He does, but I am miffed with Ollie.
He was a little bit rude, you know.
Really rude.
He said that he'd given up challenging you because he'd beaten you by miles, basically.
I'm rubbish, and I wasn't a worthy challenger to his team.
He said, he's so far back, I've given up checking. How rude.
The swine.
However... he is now going to race with Kathy, not Kathy's team that is miles and miles in front, but one of her other teams, because she is 21 points below his blog F1
Well, that is very gracious. Just to interrupt you, John has come on the live comments and he said there are now 550 teams.
Excellent. That makes me feel much better. Also, Ollie is one place behind Bassano Clapper, so there's another battle going on there.
Okay, he's not so smug now, is he? Someone else who I spotted doing very well is Keith Marshall, who we haven't heard from in absolutely ages.
Yeah, but I do have an email later in the show.
Typical.
Yeah.
Absolutely typical.
Carry on.
Okay, well, I haven't heard from him in ages, but until now, clearly. But I did want to mention that when he joined Fantasy Racers, he also got his other half.
Mrs. the Marshall.
Mrs. the Marshall. Now, Keith is doing extremely well in 12th. Where is his nearest competitor?
484th.
Ouch!
Yeah, Mrs. the Marshall's not doing quite so well.
I'm not sure she's taking this quite so seriously.
We asked in the comments earlier today whether anyone wanted to do a little bit of a half-term report, and H said, if the back of the pack racing team falls any further, they will be at the back of the pack. I think it's time for a change in management.
Oh dear. Anybody else leave us a comment?
Gavin is 48th.
This is the man with the stats. He does a race-by-race analysis of fantasy races. He can't get higher than 48th.
Oh, you can talk.
Where am I right now?
300 and something or other, 95th.
Do you know what? Even I would give up chasing me. That's just pathetic.
Well, Gavin gave us a press release for Team Rubbergoat Racing. He said, well, it's half term in the 2009 season and Team Rubbergoat Racing have shown undivided loyalty to its six drivers, Button, Barrichello, Vettel, Glock, Kubica and Sutil, through thick and thin, wins and spins, great passing and donkey driving. The team has done well this year with at least half the drivers scoring well in each of the races so far, meaning the team is in 48th place in the SciPodcast Fantasy Races League. Team boss Gavin Brown said, I am happy so far with our performances this year. We have had some strong drives, but there is still plenty of room for improvement. No driver on our roster should think of themselves as irreplaceable, especially that German who runs like a girl and the Polish guy who complains a lot and looks like Lurch from the Addams Family. I don't think I've ever seen that in a press release before.
I'll tell you something, I approve of this one.
The team will be competing in the next round of the 2009 Fantasy Races F1 Championship at the Nürburgring on the 12th of July.
I like Fantasy Races press releases.
I like this press release business.
More of those, please.
Further down the league, Maverick from Pit Lane Fanatic is battling with Lou. He's in 59th and she's in 60th, but there's just 1 point in it.
Very close.
Lou said, Honda's helping hand, after a bad few weeks, find themselves in 60th place, a bit of a drop from my original place in the top 20, currently hoping to get back into the top 50 and overtake Rubbergoat Racing in 48th since I overtook Mr. C a few weeks ago. Oh well.
Oops.
Lukey and Amy are battling for 70th and 71st with Formula Muse and L Switcheroo, and there's 8 points in that one. Amy said, having Hakey in my team hasn't really worked for me all season. I am remaining optimistic and expect a great haul of points in Germany. I'm not actually sure if that team has Hakey in it because she's got a few teams.
Fair enough. Okay, but the team with Hakey in it isn't doing so good.
And Lukey said, Formula Muse, I think I'm about 60th at the moment. No need for hysteria about such a position. But at the same time, it's not something the Knights of Cydonia would rave about. Time is running out, in all fairness. So as long as my drivers don't get sucked into a supermassive black hole, you won't see me and my team in a fury about our fortunes. It could soon turn into bliss and end up in me feeling good. I think there was something subtle in there.
I couldn't pick up on that at all. I don't know what he's saying.
As we know, Kathy leads everyone. When I say everyone, I mean everyone in the whole of the fantasy races.
Not just our league.
No.
Just the top of the toppest, most highest point you could ever be.
Yeah, by 545 points.
That's how far ahead she is.
Yeah, because between second and third is 27 points. So, I mean, that is really far ahead.
Goodness me, I heard Danny's already engraved the trophy.
I bet he has.
I think he's sending it by sea to save on delivery charges.
Kathy said, I think so that we have a good package for sure, but we have to wait and see about the new rules because it's the same for everybody.
Love it.
A comment from Jernia about his team. The Jernia owned and operated Scuderia Mil Miglia is running a solid, if unspectacular, 104th. Braun drivers Button and Barrichello have been regular fixtures in the team since Australia, with both drivers scoring well. RBR drivers Weber and Vettel joined them too late for their 1-2 in China to count, but both are still scoring very well. After an initial struggle finding a fifth driver, Kubica has now fit that role very well. The goal now of Scuderia Mil Miglia is to finish the season in the top 100 and to beat Christine's SciPodcast Races outfit. Why am I always the target?
Because you're doing better than I am by a country mile.
Talking of which, must beat SciPodcast again. Isn't.
Is. Beating me.
Not beating me, though. I think that might be the first time ever.
Wow. Must beat SciPodcast, must try harder.
Poppy is my nearest competitor in 85th, because I'm in 88th, but I'm just ahead of Rick, who wants to bring back Scott Speed, according to his team name.
You have to beat Rick.
It is my duty to beat
him.
You
may not let somebody who wishes to see more of Scott Speed beat you.
But once again, latitudinal inertia is beating your team of longitudinal inertia, 282 to your 308th.
Is it possible for anyone to to try as hard as I do and to do as badly.
Well, there's actually a whole bundle of people around you. Team Dank is 306th. Scott Woodwiss is 307th with Woodwiss Engineering. Scott Dryden is 309th, just behind you. Lycanta Magnifico Fire Lizard, 310th. And there's only 23 points between the whole lot of you.
That is really close. That is, so the answer is lots of people, then.
Scott said, Zero Downforce, the team which bears the name of my blog, that is a really subtle plug there, by the way, is my highest placed team, albeit 192nd, but with a decent points haul from Silverstone and both Braun and Red Bull drivers making up the squad, I think there's a chance a shift up the order might be possible. But then again, I've not really paid attention to fantasy races for a while now, so what do I know? For sure, it will be tough. RG said of his team, chucking the rulebook out, more like chucking the winning formula out, useless, poor and rubbish. Maybe I should have read that rulebook first. Still beating Mr. C though.
Oh, that's just lovely. Go away, all of you.
John says, still inside the top 20, Force Honda B team has vastly outperformed its previous incarnation, Better Than Massa in Oz, followed by Better Than Massa at Silverstone, and has very rarely left the top 20. Following a strategy of diffuser gate teams, followed by bye-bye-bye Red Bull, the luck continues. We've worked hard and developed the car into a real race winner. We'll keep the development going, and hopefully by the end of the season, we should be somewhere near the top. Alex's team, Wiggly 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 Whoosh Whoosh, is 5 places behind my second team, F1 Moneymaker. And I think really we just put that in there so I'd have to say it.
That's a lovely name. Yeah. You can't get too much Wiggly Wiggly Whoosh Whoosh Swoosh. Oh, that's why you say
that's why
things.
I say it. And finally, in last place, Stephen Daniels with Addison Racing International. He only joined for the British GP and has a total of 347 points, which actually isn't bad because he only picked Fisichella and Kubica.
Go, Stephen.
4 people joined for the last race, including Rachel, who is commenting and signed up on the wiki recently. She says, empty stands, not last. And that's all that matters. Feedback.
Grr, I hate voicemail. Grr.
What was a very, very brief Tremaine.
Yes.
Oh, and slightly inebriated, I believe.
I do find it amusing that someone wants to Tremaine about not liking voicemail via voicemail.
Yes.
That's awesome.
That was Nick.
Yes. And apparently he was drunk when he did that. We didn't know at the time.
In the morning, he didn't remember doing it.
No.
Can we have it one more time? Because that was really short.
Grr. I hate voicemail. Grr.
Last week, during the parade lap, we talked to Scott at Silverstone, and that was live and excellent. But we did ask for voicemails from the grounds of Silverstone, and we got some.
Hello, Christine. Hello, me. This is Bootneck reporting live from Silverstone. Just watching the GP2 race. My boys have qualified 5th and 7th for the Formula 1 race tomorrow, and I've done my bit to return Formula 1 to its rightful owners, the fans and the teams, by fly posting about 250 wanted posters around Silverstone and Max Mosley. Hope you're all having a good time watching. Speak to you soon on the forums. Bye for now.
And Bootneck's boys were obviously the Williams drivers.
Yes.
Big Williams fan.
Now that sounds like quite a busy weekend, watching your team fly posting around the track.
I think we need to get some pictures of those wanted posters. I'd like to see some of those. So good on Bootneck for doing that. Much appreciated. And thank you very much for your call.
Hey guys, it's Chris. I'm calling you straight after the British Grand Prix from Silverstone. What a brilliant race that was. A little bit professional. Well done to Vettel. Shame Button only got 6th, but at least it means that the championship is what opens a little bit more, makes it a bit closer towards the end of the year. Hopefully, I'm actually coming to the parade lap, so hopefully I will talk to you guys on 5 o'clock tomorrow. Bye!
Oh, thank you, Chris.
If I remember correctly, Chris was given tickets to Silverstone as a well done for passing his exams.
I remember! We were going to... Oh, my goodness, that totally slipped my mind. Yeah. Well done.
So he did very well, and he got the reward at the end of it.
I recall him saying it in the comments, and if he does very well, he will be there, and he was there, and he called us. So thank you, Chris.
And my last voicemail isn't from Silverstone, but is a new person to Side Podcast, and is very welcome.
Hello there, this is Alvaretto. I'm actually new to Side Podcast, really enjoying the podcasts. Just calling, really, to leave a couple of random thoughts. I really love the Aside with Joe. I particularly like the way that he always turns up at the new, Herman Tilke circuits, and proceeds to say how nobody else turns up at them. I think that's superb. Also wanted to say that in spite of all the scandal and, ignominy that's engulfed Max Mosley recently, surely the most worried-looking man in Formula 1 has to be Stefano Domenicali. Even though he's probably got the best job in Formula One, Jake Humphrey calls him the Alex Ferguson of Ferrari. Not sure why. I've never seen anyone who looks more when they're doing the job like a man who's perpetually realised he's left the gas on at home. Quite incredible, really. But, yeah, I mean, someone needs to find out what's worrying Stefano Domenicali, and I tell you what, those Ferraris would run a lot better than they are. Okay, thanks very much. I think I meant to say at this point, love the show, and thanks very much. Cheers, bye.
Yes, you are, Alvaretto. He's good at this.
Yeah.
He's good for a first-timer.
I hadn't actually noticed that about Stefano, but I am going to watch out for it now.
Okay, perpetually worried about something.
He may have left the gas on.
Interesting. We'll keep an eye out. Thank you very much. Love the voicemail, and do call again. If anyone else is interested in leaving us a voicemail, don't forget the phone number is 012128-TRACK.
That's 012128-87225, or you can send an MP3 to christine@sidepodcast.com.
That's a good idea. If you want to call for free, also it's Sidepodcast, username Sidepodcast on Skype, and you can search for us in the directory, SIDEPODCAST. There's no POS in Sidepodcast.
Now, I have had loads and loads of emails, and I love it. So keep them coming, christine@sidepodcast.com. Now, the first one is from Ian, and he sent me a couple, but he had a particular suggestion to improve Formula One that I really quite liked. It says, "Hi, Christine. Been thinking of how to improve F1 and give us back the excitement we used to have when more than one team won anything. Since the teams go to circuits days before the cars actually move to put up their mansions, surely Thursday testing can take place. However, rather than everyone testing and improving, the top 10 cars from the previous race, possibly the fastest 10 laps in qualifying, would be prohibited from running. Therefore, Braun, Red Bull and Ferrari wouldn't run. How would Renault cope with Piquet as their sole runner? Similarly, Williams with Nakajima. With the time so close, we should see the slower teams make the small gains they need to upset things a bit, and who knows, perhaps a car that's not in the white with a bit of highlighter pen livery winning."
Thank you, Ian. And that is Ian from the comments too. He spent a lot of time on Cybercast comments recently. That has happened before. I recall this happening in the not too distant past. Something along the lines of teams who opted out of testing in season were allowed to test with cars on Friday, and those teams did really, really well, and it made a big difference, and whoever signed up made the most of that. So yes, I'd agree that's a good plan. And I think we saw a lot of Friday drivers running during those regulations. So that was a good thing too. You're looking like you don't remember it at all.
No, I don't remember that. But also I was just thinking it's a little bit worrying because we have been saying we don't want two lots of regulations. And that is sort of putting a bit of a split between the teams.
It did. It was designed to help the lower budget teams. It was one of those things that actually worked, and it worked so well they had to abandon it, as is the way of these ridiculous rules. I think at the time we thought it was a good idea. Actually, before Side Podcast, so maybe I thought it was a good idea and you didn't know it occurred.
My second email this week goes a little bit like this. "I operate PressDog.com, a site that focuses primarily on the American open-wheel IndyCar racing series. I do notice F1 as well, primarily by what I call race notes, notes taken during the Speed TV broadcast here in the US. One of my big thrusts is how racing should act more like a business that makes a product that needs to be sold to customers, fans. Fans are customers, and racing should treat them like successful companies treat their customers. Pat W. at Too Much Racing, that's toomuchracing.blogspot.com, put me onto sidepodcast.com via a link. Congrats on a very excellent site. I plan to visit often and alert my readers to your content frequently." And he did. There was a link and a bit of a post about a recent aside with Joe.
And we do appreciate those. I'll tell you something that you may not, people may not realise, but doing a podcast is really, really hard to get people to link to your stuff. If you do blog posts, it's obviously very simple for people to copy and paste text and to
yes.
link to so-and-so said this in a blog post. And we frequently get lots of trackbacks and responses from blog posts, but it's incredibly difficult to get anybody to talk about a podcast. So we do. So big thanks really to PressDog and to Pat W, because both of those guys have done some really good promotion for us in terms of the Aside with Joe podcast.
In the comments, Pat says, "Yay for P-Dog." So apparently that's what we should be calling him.
Right.
Down with the kids, you know.
Good stuff. P-Dog.
My next email is from Andrew, which was actually sent to me before the peace deal was made that is no longer a peace deal.
The one we're not talking about.
We're not talking about that. It says, "Hi, Christine. What happens if FOTA split from F1 Max Burnie to all the TV contracts? I assume the BBC, love their new coverage, are contracted to continue showing F1 in whatever format that takes, but will they be happy to then take on a new contract to show the FOTA breakaway? Will DC and EJ want to front the new F1 format when all their contracts are in a different race series? In theory, the FOTA series would be the most attractive to fans with all the drivers we know taking part, as they will be contracted to the teams not F1, but what will the coverage be like? The value of either series seems to be far less than what we have at present. Hoping F1 and FOTA can play nicely and the politics becomes less than the racing very soon. Regards, Andrew.
It all depends on what Bernie does, because there's no, I mean, at the moment, we don't know whether there still may be another split and whether people are getting on or what's happening. But let's assume that the split happened and Bernie, we can almost be guaranteed that Bernie would go where Ferrari go. So much like us, Bernie will drop Max.
Like a hot potato.
Yes. And so then the TV contracts will go with Bernie and all will be fine. If for any reason Bernie didn't go, then the BBC would unfortunately be contracted to show whatever F1 becomes. And I guess it may go back to ITV.
It's a great question, though.
For grabs, I guess.
It is a great question, because they wouldn't be happy about it, would they?
No.
They just signed up this new deal and then it splits off. I think we mentioned a while ago that GrandPrixDiary.com is back.
We've definitely mentioned it in the comments.
Well, Rob, who runs it, he has sent out an email and he is doing a good deed. He says, morning all from a not so sunny Gloucestershire. In 1 month's time, I will be cycling to Paris to A, raise much needed funds into research to prevent premature birth, and B, have a damn good party when / if I get there. Due to a selection of excuses, my training has been limited to reading a copy of Cycling Weekly in the pub, so the forthcoming 350 odd miles may be interesting. I'm only £300 away from my minimum target of £1,200, so here comes the begging bowl. To learn more about what the charity does and to make a donation, please visit this link, which we'll put in the show notes.
No worries.
And before you ask, no, I really don't think that Jensen Button did make that donation that you'll see there.
Oh, okay. Well, are we going to donate too? That sounds like a very good challenge.
Absolutely. Anyone that can cycle more than about 50 yards gets my vote.
Especially if they do so by training in the pub.
As I mentioned earlier, I had an email from Keith the Marshal, he who we haven't heard from in a while.
What's he been up to?
He prefaced his email with, hi guys, long time no speak. So you were correct.
I had noticed.
He said, well, I'm sitting here waiting to hear just what is going to happen to the sport we all love. Let's hope things work out okay. Now, I can't actually remember which time that was, but that's happened quite a few times.
Any time in the last 6 months.
But on a different note, I still can't believe what the drivers go through in a race, losing 2 to 3 kilos per race, or in the case of Alonso, a few races back, 5 kilos. Amazing. The whole budget thing is getting a bit annoying now, but I think I have the solution. First, they all agree that they can only put in £40 million of their money, but they can put in any amount more that they want as long as that money has been made by F1-related things, not sponsorship. Now, I propose the F1 weight loss plan, where fat rich people pay stupid amounts of money to do 50 or so laps in the cars. The weight will fall off and the teams will make a fortune that they can blow on F1. I think you'll agree this is a brilliant plan, so please forward this on to Bernie. Thanks, Keith the Marshal.
Thank you, Keith. Don't leave it so long next time, Keith. That's brilliant. It doesn't tell us anything about his marshalling and what he's up to.
Sadly, I don't have Bernie's email address, otherwise I would forward it on.
We know where he lives, though.
Just a couple more. Richard sent me an email saying, I went to my first GP last year in Canada and it was an amazing experience. I was lucky enough to go to the Melbourne GP as well this year and made a little video. I will link to that in the show notes.
The show notes are going to be pretty busy this week.
It is a tough life being a Williams fan. I grew up next door to the old factory in Didcot, but SciPodcast brings me a little light relief. Richard.
Oh, thank you, Richard.
That's very kind. And it's a really good video, which is why I wanted to bring attention to it.
I shall look at it shortly. Just before we finish on the feedback front, I have one last thing to squeeze in. Do you remember a while back, Bassano went to America and he wanted to meet up with a SciPodcast listener while he was there?
That's right. It was not successful, was it?
Because it was about a week. They missed each other by about a week.
Yeah.
He didn't quite get the message. Bassano is doing it again. He's going to Montreal on the weekend of July the 10th and 11th. So not very long at all. And he wants any SciPodcast listeners to get in touch either with us or with him on the SciPodcast wiki to arrange a meetup to get together in Montreal.
Well, that's excellent, because I know we've got a few Canadian listeners and Bassano is a lovely person.
He is ace. And if you're scared of meeting new people, don't be scared of Bassano. He's lovely.
He will get you drunk, though.
He's a bad influence.
Yeah.
No question. He also said, he mentioned that if this one does fail, he's prepared.
He has experience.
The inevitable. He is going to take worldwide requests for parties of three or more with decent notice to meet up with him. Now, I think at the moment it sounds like he's going to Manila.
Yes,
to meet Journia.
On the wiki, there already is a meetup planned in Manila. And for some reason, we're all signed up on it as well.
We're not going to Manila.
I don't think that's actually going
to
happen.
But at some point in 2010, Bassano is going to Manila to meet Journia, who's been on the show before. He's rang in a couple of times. He's hosted a panel. And now he's going to meet Bassano.
I think F1 Wolf signed up for it as well, because he said it was about an hour away.
Ah, yes, he's in that area too. So that'll be awesome. We'll definitely look forward to that meetup in 2010. But yeah, if you're in Montreal, it's not next weekend, is it the week? It must be the weekend after. So if you're in Montreal in 2 weeks, do get in touch either with Christine at sidepodcast.com or find Bassano and PM him on wiki.sidepodcast.com.
Housekeeping. Next week, lots of people are going lots of places. We're not.
We're staying indoors.
Yeah.
Much better that way. But where are people going?
Well, it's Goodwood Festival of Speed next week, and a lot of people are going to that. I think Ollie, Lukey, Pat, Nick, Lou, and Jackie might do.
Goodness me.
They're all turning up, so we want pictures, maybe a voicemail or two.
Oh, we want phone calls from Goodwood.
Yeah.
That'll be ace.
The number is 012128-TRACK. That's 012128-87225.
Don't forget it, people. Put it in your mobile before you go. Call us from Goodwood.
Also, the World Series by Renault. We've got John, Scott, Chris Evans, RCC and Kaylee. And again, Jackie might go to that.
She's going
to
be busy next weekend.
Yeah, I think maybe she hasn't made up her mind which yet.
More calls from World Series by Renault then. Is that Silverstone?
Yes, it is.
Good stuff. We want calls from Silverstone next week then.
We should make that a regular feature, it sounds like. Calls from Silverstone.
There's always something going on there. So what are we going to be up to instead?
Well, because there's going to be so many people out and about, it doesn't seem fair to do a live show.
Okay. Because nobody will be here to tune in.
Exactly. So instead, I'm going to give you a mini-series.
You've promised this in the past.
I know. I keep on promising and I don't deliver. But this time, I really think it's going to happen.
And it's going to happen on Wednesday?
It should start on Wednesday. You'll get 7 short shows, consecutive days.
And we'll be back with another live show post-Germany.
Yeah, in 2 weeks' time, where we'll give you the results of our Shell experiment.